Bible Line, hear God's Word on Bible Line, hear God's truth on Bible Line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's concluding message of this teaching will be a blessing to you and your family.
I says, most of us, we don't have to practice in, we're experts at it. So when he says here, there's two Greek words. One is poeo and the other one is prazo. Prazo, think of practice. Poeo means not commit one single act of sin. And so whenever you look up the word prazo, it says thou habitually commit sin. But then it has another little line that says, not like the word poeo, which means one single act. So the Bible says here, whosoever is born of God doth not practice sin. No, it means you cannot commit one single act of sin. I said, so this is even worse than practice. Then he says, for his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin because he's born of God. The reason he can't sin is because he's born of God. I said, it's got to be one way or the other. If it means practice, I says, you all are guilty. And it means you're not born of God. I said, so there's got to be another meaning to it. And I says, and there is. So then I went to the two natures. Y'all ever seen me do that before? Flesh birth, born of the flesh. Sinful nature, and we all sin. We're all going to die. We cannot improve our sinful nature. You can't improve it. You may try to curb it and control it, but the nature, you cannot improve that nature. And we all sin. And God says, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. So, because we've all sinned, we all die. Wages of sin is death. That's why we all die. I says, when you trust Christ as your Savior, God's not saving this old man. So most people get it all mixed up because they think, God's saving this old man. No, God's not saving this old man. You see, if he's saving this old man and giving you this new nature and taking away the old one, that means the old nature has been eradicated. And that's why some preachers will say, well, if you're really saved, you're not going to want to go out here and do all those bad things anymore. And I says, that's fake news. It's not real news. That's fake news. That's not the truth. I said, so when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God didn't touch this one. He gave you a new birth, born again. You see, you have to be born again, means born from above without a sinful nature. If I was born 1,000 times down here, and every time I was born I had a sinful nature, the last one is not any better than the first one. Still the same result. A person born today is just as sinful as the man that came out of the Garden of Eden. He has a sinful nature, same thing. It hasn't changed. Now, when you trust Christ as your Savior, he gives you a new birth. This is the one that's born of God. This one's born of God, born without a sinful nature. It can't sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. If it cannot sin, it cannot die. And if it cannot die, how long will you be a child of God? Forever and ever. See, I've been born twice. And so whenever you trusted Christ as your Savior, God gave you this new birth. So I went through and I explained this because I wanted people to really understand it. Now, look at the next table. Number 7, the truth is there is not one preacher here that has been saved because he turned from sin. You say, you didn't say that. Yes, I did. Why? Because turning from sin doesn't save you, so that means that nobody here has been saved because they turned from sin. It had nothing to do with your salvation. If a man's he smokes and drinks and runs around, he got to stop all that before God will save him. Chapter and verse, not in the Bible. We're all sinners and we all deserve to go to hell. So if God saves anybody, he has to do it by grace. So everybody's saved the same way. Now, what about the man who doesn't have, he doesn't drink, smoke, and dip and chew? You say, there's nobody like that. Oh, not so fast, Charlie. I'm over 75 now. I have never in my life ever sworn a cuss word. Never. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never had a drink of strong drink. Never in my life. You say, well, why not? Because I was always afraid I might like it. And if I like it, I might not be able to quit it. So that means I'm saved, right? No, I can still go to hell. Not now, because I trusted Christ as my Savior. So cleaning up your life is not going to get you to heaven. The Bible says God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Change your mind. Change your mind that you cannot save yourself, and you'll trust Christ as your Savior. That's what repent means. Change your mind. The Bible talks in many places how that God repented. Does that mean God turned from his sins? No. All the way through the Gospel of John, which we use as our heaven track, the word repent's not even found. And yet it's the clearest book in the whole Bible that tells how man's to be saved, born again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Where did you hear repentance mentioned? It isn't. It's not there. But he says, whosoever believeth. You see, if a man's an unbeliever and he believes, he's repented. He's changed his mind. After a man is saved, yes, God has many things he wants his children to do, but if we get things out of sequence, then it doesn't work. So now get this. I want you to look here at the next statement. In number 8, why would we ask a lost man to do what we saints of 50 years cannot do and haven't done? Do I have any sins? No. Are you going to actually sit there and tell me that I'm still sinning? That I still make mistakes and do things wrong? And until the day I die, yes. But now, it's the old man that's going to go to the grave. And absent from this body, present with the Lord. Without this new birth, when you die, you're separated from God in a literal fire burning hell. But see, I can't be separated from God because, see, my new birth is as righteous, as perfect as God. So you have to be perfect to go to heaven. My new birth is perfect. My old one, no. So as I live my life, there will be times when you'll see the flesh. And there might be times when you'll say, ah, he's walking in the Spirit. If I walk in the Spirit, does that mean this one don't exist? No, it still exists. If I walk in the flesh, I mean live like the devil. Does that mean this one don't exist? It's still there. But a spiritual birth, you can't see the spiritual fruit sometimes. So that's why I told him, I said, forget the evidences of salvation. The only reason that I know that I'm saved is because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And upon the authority of God's word, God says, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. That's how I know I'm saved. And the last 56 years has not added to my security. I'm secure because the word of God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. It's written to those who believe. Look at your life and see whether you're really saved or not. Doesn't say that. That becomes fake news. I did ask him this question, and I want you to look at it. Look in Romans in chapter 12. The book of Romans and chapter 12. I says, now stop and think about it. If we took Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and applied it to the lost man, we would be asking him to do something he cannot do. So notice what it says in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. When it says brethren, do you think he's talking to lost people or saved people? Saved people. What's he asking these saved people to do? That ye present your what? Your bodies, get this, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, what's that next word? Service. You see, you don't ask a lost man to serve. That makes his salvation dependent upon his service. And if he doesn't serve, then he's not saved. This is talking to the believer, those who've already trusted Christ as Savior. So now God is asking the saved man to present his body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now, he's not doing it to be saved. He's already saved. He's already a believer. You see, if you apply this to the lost man, it's an ingredient that's out of place. It doesn't belong there. So are there preachers who want people to live godly? Yes. Is there preachers who want people to stop their sins? Yes. We all agree to that. It's just that you got it out of sequence. You have to wait till they become a saved man. Then as a saved man, then you tell a saved man you should turn from iniquity. You tell a saved man you should present your body as a living sacrifice. You take those out of place and apply it to the lost man, then you're requiring him to do something that God says belongs to the child of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you follow what I'm saying? This means yes, this means no. This is a heaven and hell issue. So many preachers are trying to get people to clean up their lives. No, it's just like going fishing. We catch them, he clean them. Now, look in verse 2. This is not talking to the lost man, because if it was talking to the lost man, he should have already done this. But it's not automatic. After you are saved, God says this in verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Is it the will of God for you not to be conformed to this world? That's to the child of God. But if you apply it to the lost man, you've asked him to do something that's impossible. He can't live it. Most Christians won't live it. You can have eternal life and know that you're going to heaven when you die and go out those doors and live like the devil. Are you still saved? Yes. How you live is not the guarantee of whether you're saved or not. If you are saved, you're saved. You have eternal life. God, in his word, beseeches us in view of what he's done for us. He pleads with us as his children. Don't be like this world. He says, and be transformed. Get that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, that's for the Christian in his Christian life. But you get that out of sequence and it doesn't belong there. So a lot of preachers, meaning well, have taken things that belong to the believer and put it to the lost man. And it confuses them. Because then they begin to question whether or not, well, I don't know if I'm really saved. Well, why not? Well, I used to smoke and I gave it up to get saved and now I'm smoking again. So that must mean I really didn't get saved. Who told them that lie? Well, I used to drink and then I got saved and I find myself, I've gone back to drinking. Some people say, well, that's a sign you weren't really saved. The drinking had nothing to do with it. It's a zero. It has no effect. You're saved because did you trust Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that when he died on that cross and paid for your sins? And you're trusting him and him alone as your only hope to get to heaven? This is so important, and I wish everybody would understand that. Now, I want you to look there in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew in chapter 7. It was interesting when I heard one preacher say, well, you know over there in Matthew chapter 7, when it talks about, behold, I stand, he says, and many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? He said, now you know that's talking to Christians, but they didn't really serve the Lord with all they have. You know, they dabbled in it, but didn't give it all they had. I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, that stinks to high heaven. That is not what it says. But it's because somebody don't know how to explain it. You see, you use the clarity of the gospel to understand the complicated scriptures. And then it becomes clear. Look what he says here. Matthew chapter 7. It says in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And few there be which go in thereat. Did I read it right? Always check the preacher. Check the book. Did I read it right? I did not read it right. I gave you fake news. The truth is, many there be which go in thereat. Many people are on the broad way, on the way to destruction. Many, not few, many. Then notice the next verse, 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. That's eternal life. And notice the next words. And few there be that find it. In other words, it looks like there's more people going to hell than going to heaven. I mean, just looking at it. Why so many people on the broad way going the wrong way? And few that really find it, that really see it. Our churches are filled with people that are trying to earn their way to heaven by their good deeds. Because somebody told them, you're saved by your word. Now, they didn't use those words. They just told you, you've got to stop your sins. And you've got to promise that you're going to serve God. And so they go to church. That's good. Read the Bible. Pray. Give money. All these wonderful things that they can do. And they try to watch all the things. And so, well, I know I've been good a lot longer than I've been bad. Or my good outweighs my bad. And so you wait to find out, well, where are you going to die? Well, heaven, I hope. Now, if you had asked me the question, Yankee, where are you going to die? Heaven. There's no doubt. There's no question. Not at all. Why? I couldn't go to hell if I tried. I haven't tried. But I can't go to hell. How come I can't go to hell? I don't have any sins to pay for. Christ died for my sins. Five most precious words in the whole Bible. He paid for my sins. Why? So that I wouldn't have to pay for them. If he paid for my sins, why should I have to go to hell and pay for my sins? All he asked me to do was, would you believe I did that for you? I did that for you. And that's why he said, whosoever believeth, he that believeth. It's by faith and faith alone. Me believing, he loved me that much, he paid for my sins so that I wouldn't have to go to hell. Why do I want to serve him? Because why not serve a person who loves me that much? I want to please him. But see, I'm not doing it to go to heaven. I'm doing it because I'm going there. I'm already going there. I'm not doing it to get there. Now look what he says here. In verse 15, he says this, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. And he says, inwardly they are ravening and wolves. A false prophet has a false what? False message. And so many people believe the false message. They believe in fake news. They don't believe the truth. They're not listening to the truth. It's free. Anybody who adds to it, it's a false message. It's fake news. And majority of churches, I believe, are filled with people who are believing this fake news because there's preachers that don't get it. They mean well. They may be sincere. But notice what it says. He used an illustration of two trees. In verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. This tree cannot bring forth good fruit. This tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. They're separate. You get it? I didn't make up this thing. It's right there in the book. So that's why he says there is a difference. Now in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, Lord are words that refer to lordship, master, servant, to the master. Lord, Lord. Guess what he said? Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, to go to heaven, you've got to do what the Father said to do to go to heaven. The Lord in heaven never said, do many wonderful works, earn your way to heaven, cast out devils, speak in tongues, do this miracle. God never said do those things in order to have eternal life, to get into heaven. There's now verses in the Bible that says that. So there are people here that have committed their life to Christ. They're serving God. They're doing all these good deeds. But look what it says in verse 22. Many, see that word many? Many, on the way to destruction. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not get what they, look what they did. They prophesied in their name. That's not bad. Cast out devils. That's not bad. Did wonderful work. Well, that's not bad. So they committed their life to God. We don't know how long they did it. But they did it believing that they were going to get in because they did it. So they're referring to the things that they did. So here's lost people who committed their life to God and are going to hell. Look what it says in verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I, what? Never knew you. Well, they used to be saved, but they weren't saved anymore. No, he said, I never knew you. They were not believers. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. To trust in your good works is a great and grievous sin. Going to church and giving money, living a good life, is a wicked, wicked thing when you're trusting in it to get you to heaven. Especially when the God of all creation has sent his Son into the world to die on the cross, to pay for your sins, to give you as a free gift, eternal life, and then you try to offer him a quarter for it. Offer him your good works for it. Can you cast your total care upon him and him alone and not trust in any of your good works to help you get to heaven? Many people are doing good deeds. Look at it. That's why I showed you that verse a while ago in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 where it says, we have this seal, this foundation. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Here he says, I never knew you. The ones that he knows are those who have been born into his family. All of God's children get to go to heaven. All the rest of them don't get to go. Any man, regardless of how good he lives, cannot earn his way to heaven. And think about this. The most wicked man in this world can trust Christ as Savior and go to heaven. And the most godliest person who can live as godly as he can, if he doesn't trust Christ, he goes to hell. He said, that's not fair. For by grace are you saved, God will save everybody the same way. You either trust Christ as your Savior or you don't get to go. Down to the bottom of the page. If the gospel we preach does not make one perfect immediately upon the new birth from above, it is totally ineffective in getting us to heaven. You see, if you have to be perfect to go to heaven, then there's whatever that message is. It tells us how to go to heaven, has to make you perfect because heaven is a perfect place. What if you died 5 minutes after you trust the Lord? Whatever you heard, whatever you believe, must make you perfect, good to go. And you don't have time to judge by your life whether or not, was I really saved or not? You're really saved if you put your faith in Christ, believing that when he died for you. You see, when I was 18 years old, sitting in a little old living room in Athens, Georgia, when this was explained to me for the first time, and I trusted Christ as my Savior at that moment, God gave me a new birth. I was born from above. This one is perfect. And if the gospel we preach doesn't make a man perfect, it's no good. If you add works to the gospel of grace, it can't save him. It's by grace or not at all. It's free, not at all. Well, I'll be good just in case. Can't have it that way. Now you set term limits on it, and that won't last very long. So when you trust Christ as your Savior, he gives you as a free gift everlasting life. You become a child of God and you're good to go from the very moment you trusted the Lord. And nothing this old man does can change this. It's the only way you can know that you're going to heaven. I hope that that makes that clear. You say, how was it received? I knew you was going to ask that. When I began to get a little bit further on into it and explaining the things, and I hit on the repentance thing and how that repent does not mean turn from your sins, and how that God wants us as his children. That says, now, many of us are going to be guilty of putting the ingredients in the wrong place, the wrong time. There are certain things, yes, God says to the lost. And the same God says to the Christian. You get those out of sequence, and it's fake news. And you'd be surprised how many of those preachers started to say, amen, 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 all over. I think they saw it. And I had one man come up to me, and he put his hand on my shoulders afterwards. He says, that was fantastic. That was awesome. He says, that makes sense. He says, don't worry about what anybody else says. And then I had other ones that came up to me. They didn't do it in a group where everybody knows what they said. They come up to me and That was great. I really appreciated that. And so it could be very interesting. But you don't compromise the gospel regardless of who they may be. I'm not an expert on a lot of things, but I know how to go to heaven. And I know what the gospel is. I know what the gospel is not. Nobody died for me except Jesus Christ. I don't owe any man any loyalty, only to the Lord. Because of who he is and what he's done for me, let it rip. I'm going to hold to what I believe this book says. And you'd be surprised how it gives you confidence when you know you're right, and it gives you boldness. And you don't have to waver. Just speak the truth and enjoy the ride. Isn't this exciting? This gets so exciting. This hand represents you and me. And I went through this. I said, now let me show you how I present the gospel. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us. He hates our sin, but he loves us. And for us to pay for sin is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. God wants us to go to heaven, but to go to heaven, we got to be perfect, and nobody's perfect. And because we're not perfect, we can't go. Because of sin, we can't get in. And God says you cannot earn eternal life. All of our good deeds will never pay for sin, because the wages of sin is death. You have to die. God didn't ask us to turn from sin. He says you got to die to pay for sin. Good works don't pay for it. You got to die. And we're all going to die. But the problem is, we don't want to die. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. Came into this world because he loves us. Now, he had no sin. He didn't have to die. But because he loved us, and our sin separates us from him. Jesus Christ took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross. He came back from the dead. And he says the only thing we have to do to go to heaven, the only thing we have to do is to believe that he did it for us. And he puts this payment to my account. I've got a payment for my sins. That's why I can't go to hell. My sins are paid for. He paid for all of my sins, not most of them. All of them. When he died on that cross 2,000 years ago, all of my sins were in the future, and he paid for all of them. The ones I haven't done yet, he's already paid. They're all paid. There's enough in escrow account to cover for whatever I do from here on in. He said, that's just giving people a license to sin. Believe however you want to. That doesn't change the fact he died for all of my sins, and that he loves me that much, and he'll give it to me as a gift. And because he loves me that much, you know what I want to do? Because I don't have to. I want to serve him with all my heart. I want to live as holy, as godly as I possibly can. Why? Because I don't have to. If I had to do it, it'd make me a hypocrite. And I have no desire to be a hypocrite. I'm a sinner, saved by grace because of what he did on the cross for me. And he paid for all of my sins. He did it for you too. The only thing you have to do to go to heaven is where you believe he did it for you. Well, I believe that he gave me eternal life. If you believe it, he'll give you eternal life. If it's eternal life, how long would it last? If it lasts forever and all your sins are paid, where are you going to go when you die? Can you know you're going to heaven before you die? Best news in all the world.
Don't miss out on all the fun. Join Pastor Jesse and Kyla Martinez on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. for Tampa Youth Ranch at Calvary Community Church. Tampa Youth Ranch is a great mix of live music, games, Bible study, food, and fun, where teens 13 to 18 get to know God and the Bible with their friends. Check it out online at tampayouthranch.org and see the cool pictures from past activities and all the fun you've been missing. No ride, no problem. Call 813-334-4655 today for information on getting a ride to Tampa Youth Ranch.
Thanks for joining us on BibleLine. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon. Just keep looking up.